points like Special K bars, buy two, save 10 cents a gallon. Red Bull 16 ounces, buy two, save 10 cents. And tall Pringles, buy two, save 10 cents per gallon. So a lot of deals going on. And then the people here, Faye, she's been here. I think I've been doing remotes at this store for at least 8 years. And she is just always a bright spot. But the people that work here are great. Always a super clean store and very convenient.
Yes, stop by and see us here. 2028 East Hunt Road in Maryville. Out here, thanks to Hershey's this afternoon on Valentine's Day, getting ready for the weekend, and found that I ruffled some feathers in the first hour as Joel made a pick for tomorrow's Tennessee-South Carolina game.
We heard about it, and not on Twitter. They were in the store.
No doubt. No doubt. I went with South Carolina at the beginning of the week, so I said I'll stick with that pick.
Yep.
You went with South Carolina at the beginning. You went with Tennessee to beat South Carolina at the beginning of the week. You're sticking with that pick. And either way, I think it's going to be a close one. I don't know if it's going to be a very good game to watch in terms of you're looking for a lot of shots to go in. Maybe. It was a real rock fight the first time they played. It could be that way again. It happens from time to time when Rick Barnes' team faces Frank Martin's team. But I think it'll be a competitive game that comes down to the wire tomorrow.
I totally see why you picked South Carolina at home. Obviously, it was only a one-point win for Tennessee when they were in Thompson Bowling Arena, so why couldn't it be the exact reverse for South Carolina? I think your pick is probably the smarter pick. My pick is a little bit of the homer pick, and I did admit, especially when we were talking to Will Shelton from Game Day on Rocky Top, my pendulum swung too far to the positive after that Arkansas win. I'm still not exactly sure what that Arkansas win is going to mean in the grand scheme of things. I think at the very least, it opens the door to win on the road. And I thought that was going to be one of the hardest road wins for Tennessee to try and get. Now I think it's pretty attainable. So if they drop this one, I like what Will said as well. This isn't must-win territory at this point in time, but eventually if you let this one drop, then you're going to have to beat Arkansas on the road. I mean, that's just kind of how that's going to shake out.
Yeah, Tennessee is at least, despite the ups and downs, it has kept itself in position where we can say, what if Tennessee does this? If Tennessee wins tomorrow and then beats Vanderbilt at home, it at least has a road. I saw Aaron Torres covers college basketball, does radio with Fox Sports, has the Aaron Torres podcast, said the roads may be a little easier than I thought. That is something that he noted in the last couple of days for Tennessee. But if it loses tomorrow, I don't think Monday we're going to be talking very confidently about Tennessee's NCAA tournament chances. Will Shelton pointing out, you got to beat Vanderbilt. I'm sure that's right. That's just one you have to take care of business at home. But Tennessee has put itself in a position. Santiago Vescovi has been a big part of that. A lot of guys have stepped up in different ways. Vescovi probably in the most exciting way. Him and Pons in that fashion. But what Fulkerson has done, I know his shooting has not been very good, but Jordan Bowden, he's still been putting up points, playing good defense for Tennessee, and then again, the role players, what they've been able to do have helped as well.
And I know that Bowden is not shooting the percentage that we all want him to shoot or maybe expect him to shoot, especially because we're clinging on to those NCAA tournament hopes, but nine straight games of scoring in double figures. The last three or four games, he scored 15-plus points. I mean, he really has done. I think he falls into the category of underappreciated and expectations too high for and Bowden, and I hate for that to happen. But with him being so good last year and coming back and kind of being one of the pillars of this team, the expectations just go through the roof when you're trying to make it back to the tournament and you don't have Admiral and you don't have Grant and you don't have Bone and you don't have Lamonte. So I still think if this team makes it to the NCAA tournament, that'll just be incredible with everything that they lost from last year and now with Josiah Jordan-James being out. So for that, I'm just really pulling for this team. I think they're very likable. I know they're not an elite team at this point in time and in this structure, but to see the development of a guy like John Fulkerson and Eve Pons, that I don't think we're appreciating that enough in the moment. I know we will when we look back on the season, no matter how it shakes out. That's what we'll talk about during the off season. But in the moment, we need to appreciate what these guys are doing night in and night out because they've been asked to do a lot, and they really are showing up. I think they're taking it real serious.
No doubt. Let's see if Josiah plays tomorrow as well. Obviously, that would be a boost from a personnel standpoint. And how effective can he be? How many minutes would he give Tennessee? I don't know the answers there, but he's one of Tennessee's most talented players. He would help with the depth in the backcourt. and just a number of reasons that it would be good for Tennessee to have Josiah Jordan James back. If you look at this stretch that Tennessee still has remaining, I still wonder, can Vescovi, can Jordan Bowden, can they continue to carry as much of the load in the backcourt as they've been asked to without help from somebody like Josiah? So that's something to pay attention to tomorrow. Can Josiah James give it a go for Tennessee at South Carolina?
And when you look at the schedule, okay, you got at South Carolina, then Vanderbilt, then a tough game. You got to go on the road at Auburn. That's probably a loss. We'll see how it all shakes out. But then the next game, that shouldn't terrify you, going on the road to Arkansas. Look what you did at home. Even if you struggle on the road, which Fayetteville is a really tough place to play, Will said it best, you outmatch them. I mean, they match up from a good size perspective, so that game is no longer a loss for me just right off the bat. And then you got a tough game with Florida. I mean, your last three are brutal. If you could get one of the last three, I think that would be awesome. Because you got Florida, and then on the road to Kentucky, and then Auburn at home. And I'm telling you, if they steal that Auburn game at home, I will go nuts, because we will be at that game, and you know how much that one means to me. I love anytime Tennessee can best Auburn and Bruce Pearl, but I just think that would be a nice exclamation point for the end of the season.
Yeah, so we'll talk a little more Tennessee basketball before the hour ends. Big news story that's come out here in the last hour or so. Before we wrap up this segment, Manchester City has been banned from a European competition that includes the Champions League for
Wow.
the next two seasons after they were found guilty of breaching financial fair play rules. That was announced by UEFA. So the reigning Premier League champions will be excluded from the Champions League for the 2020-21 and 2021-22 campaigns. They also are facing a huge fine. Now, the ruling is subject to appeal, but big news there with the Champions League and Manchester City.
That is incredible. So, ooh. They were going around the rules on signing players and how much they could pay them?
I would need to see everything okay. that happened. But, yeah, violating the fair play rules. Big news there with Manchester City. So that would include Champions League play.
You guys have encouraged me to adopt a football club to try and get interested in the world of soccer. I'm going to go ahead and scratch off Man City for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, you can buy low right now. big news there. I'm sure they'll be covering that on the next Starting 11, the weekly show that Will West is heading up, covering what's going on in the soccer world. You can always podcast that as well. Coming up next, it's Daytona 500 time. Racing season is already here. The lead lap will be back tomorrow morning. Ron Morton joins us live from Daytona coming up next with another 45 minutes to go here in Maryville today on Valentine's Day. Thanks to Hershey's, we're set up with Reese's Standard Candy Bars Buy One, Get One BOGO at the Easy Stop where we are today at 2028 East Hunt Road in Maryville. Next to Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, thank you for being with us. We have another 45 minutes to go. Next to Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. We are at the Easy Stop in Maryville today. The Exxon stopped by and see us. Hershey setting us up here. Come on in, Reese's Standard Candy Bars. Buy one, get one. Hershey's Kiss is always a good idea on Valentine's Day and Valentine's weekend. We'll be here again until 3 o'clock getting you ready for the weekend. And the weekend will include more racing at Daytona. Daytona 500 coming up this weekend, which means, hard to believe, the return of the lead lap is back. And we are pleased to welcome to the show right now, joining us on the Stanley Fencing Gates Hotline, Ron Morton. He'll be heading up the lead lap for you tomorrow morning. Ron, another season of racing. How about it?
Hey, Josh. How are you, sir?
Yeah, doing great. Good to talk to you. How has it been down there so far the last few days?
Well, it's a little cold here today, but we've had great weather up until today. But we got to get over to the duels last night. The temperature was great. Had a little bit of a rain delay. But once they got the first one underway, they moved right into the second one. And both of the duels turned out to be pretty good races. So I'd say if we can judge what we saw last night in the 500 with everybody on the track at the same time, it should be another exciting 500.
How much anticipation do you feel like there is right now for the lead up to basically the Super Bowl of racing and the big kickoff event?
Oh, I think it's a ton of anticipation, a lot more than what we've seen. We've been watching the sport sort of bounce back over the last 3 years with the economy coming back. The sport of NASCAR has followed it right on in. President Trump's going to be there Sunday, and everybody's looking forward to that. They're telling everybody they need to get there about an hour and a half early for pre-check, with the Secret Service holding down a bunch of posts around the speedway. So the campgrounds are full, the bars are full, the hotels are full, and Daytona 500 is already sold out.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, so big anticipation for the start of the season, Ron. Ron Morton's on with us. The lead lap will be back tomorrow morning starting at 10 a.m. What are the storylines that are standing out at the start of the season, which I know would include Jimmy Johnson's last run here, but what else would stand out in terms of what fans are looking forward to with the start of this NASCAR season?
Well, I think Jimmy Johnson had a good night last night in his duel. I think he's going to roll off six. What's interesting, if you look at the starting lineup for Sunday's 500, you've got to get all the way to 14th to find a Toyota. And you would think on paper that the Toyotas were slow, but they've not really been showing that they're slow. But they are the first ones in 14th, and the top 13 positions are all going to a Ford or a Chevy. So right now the anticipation is it looks like all of the manufacturers are pretty even right now at Daytona with the speed in their cars and where they're running. So it's going to be exciting to see 40 of them get out on the track and see what they can do on Sunday.
Well, one thing we love to talk about, you know, whether it's football, basketball, whatever, is the guys that are flying under the radar. You know, who are the guys that during this season are really going to make a push? Do you have any ideas about some of those guys that could maybe level up this season, starting with the 500?
Well, I think you got to watch Christopher Bell. He's in the rookie class this year, driving the 95 car. He's actually Joe Gibbs Racing stable driver. He's on loan to Levi Family Racing for they could get him on up into the Winston Cup, and not the Winston Cup, but the Cup and the Monster Cup. And he had a really good run last night. But you've got the 41 you got to watch out for, and that's Cole Custer moving out of the Xfinity Series. You got John Hunter Nemechek. You've got a really, really strong rookie class, about six guys that have hopped into Cup that I think are people you're going to have to watch.
Ron Morton is on with us here on Sports 180. The lead lap will be back tomorrow, getting you ready for everything going on at Daytona this weekend. And Chad Fincham was racing last night, hasn't worked out for the 500, but he'll be in the Xfinity Series. And Chad's a guy that he's continued to grow as a driver. Had a chance to see him a couple of weeks ago at Toyota Knoxville, which has been one of his supporters and sponsors. But I'll be curious to see how he does in the Xfinity race and what this year might include for Chad, who continues to, as I mentioned, grow as a driver.
Yeah, certainly we were on the watch for Chad last night, and actually there was a sort of a glimmer of hope there for Chad when Suarez went out and went to the garage. He was probably the top guy in the field that Chad needed to beat last night to get into the 500. There were two others too, and so when Suarez went out, it looked like, well, shoot, the best guy out there that he's got to beat's gone, and who knows what's going to happen next. But didn't work out for him, but he's going to strap into an Xfinity car on Saturday. He'll be on with us about 10:05, and then he's going to qualify as Xfinity car at 11 o'clock tomorrow, and then he'll be running that race tomorrow. So that's Chad Fincham, and he's driving out of Halls, Tennessee, a Halls High graduate. So that's pretty cool. The other big storyline right now is JTG Daugherty. Ricky Stenhouse lost his ride at Rouse. He moved over to JTG Daugherty. He's going to be driving the 47, not the 17. He comes down here in a brand-new race car with a brand-new team and sets it on the pole with fast speed. That's pretty cool.
Do you have a driver that you think is the favorite to get it done this weekend at the Daytona 500, and how difficult is that to answer when we're talking about racing at Daytona?
Well, it's hard to answer when you're doing speedway racing, Josh. You know, it's just such a crapshoot. I mean, if you're there in the end, I mean, you saw the clash the other night or the crash that's been effectively called. Didn't finish a whole lot of race cars, tore up a bunch of race cars. So it's hard to say. I mean, I think, you know, everybody's pretty evenly matched with the Toyotas, the Fords, the Chevys, all of those top teams. And then you got these rookie class that's in here, six guys adding into that. And so I don't know. It's hard to make a prediction. I think, at this point, any of the top 10, 15 drivers on any given day or any given track could win the Daytona 500.
I know you touched on him just a little bit a second ago, but this being kind of the farewell tour for Jimmy Johnson, is there any sort of emotions that he's let slip this week, or is he just dialed in as the professional that he is?
I think he's just dialed in. I mean, Jimmy has still got a ton of fan base. When you look out over the NASCAR audience, you see the apparel and the things that are out there. Tons of JJ fans still out there. I think he's going to have a good year. I mean, he ran good, had a chance to win his duel last night. He ran up front. He ran the closest to the front I've seen him run in a while. So time will tell whether it'll be a Cinderella story and he comes back in the end in his last year and wins a championship, which would give him 8 championships. But if not, I mean, he sure has given the sport a lot to watch through the year. So we'll be watching, see what JJ can do, like him or not like him. I mean, he's a hell of an athlete. And he ran the half marathon down here before he ran the race the other night. And I can't remember what place he placed in, but he does pretty good. He's a cycler, a runner. He's a real athlete. So we'll be waiting to see what JJ does on Sunday. But he's 7 championships, so I don't think I would count him out.
Yeah, and I'm sure he'd love to go out on a note where he can at least make a real run at number 8. Ron, before you go, Ron Morton with the lead lap coming up tomorrow at 10 a.m. You know, Kyle Busch has a ton of wins. He's got championships to his name, but he doesn't have the Daytona 500. How big of a deal do you think that is to him this weekend to try to get a 500 to his name?
I think it's huge. I mean, if you win the Daytona 100 or the Daytona 500, I mean, you're always a Daytona 500 champion. I mean, there's only one of those, and you got a lot of guys that sought after that too for many years that never got it, and some that it took a long time to get. But once you become a Daytona 500 champion, I mean, you're that for the rest of your life, regardless if you go on to win another race. So obviously, Kyle Busch has won his share of races, so it doesn't apply to him. But, you know, to finish his career and not have a Daytona 500, that's probably the thing that you would hear people talk about in talk radio or sports radio, is that, hey, yeah, he was a great champion, but you know what? He never got a Daytona 500. So I can bet you money KB would love to get a Daytona 500 on Sunday.
It's the same with Peyton Manning in Florida. You know, it's absolutely just there's always that little mark on the tombstone.
Yeah, exactly. So he's going to be out there proving himself and proving that he's got what it takes to win at every racetrack in the circuit, including Daytona 500. And I'm sure he'd love to do the big media tour that comes after winning the 500 on Sunday.
Ron, anything else to add? And what can we look forward to tomorrow with the kickoff to the lead lap another season?
3 hours of live coverage. Hatman Chris Corm will be back in the studio handling it there. Sam Foreman's going to be on the board taking the calls and taking the picks. And I'm going to be down in the garages starting at 10 in the morning. And we're going to do 3 hours live from the garages there at Daytona. We got a lot of great Hall of Famers lined up. Leonard Wood's going to be on with us. We have him every year. And actually, he's got a new driver in the legendary number 21, somebody to watch. And so Matty D. Benedetto, which has really become sort of a kind of a cult following, and just a super, super nice guy. So he stepped into the 21 for Wood Brothers. So we're going to be watching him, but we're going to have Leonard Wood, one of the founders of Wood Brothers Racing, on and talk about the legendary 21. And we've got Dale Inman, which is the crew chief for Richard Petty for like 3 decades, and they won a ton of races together. And so we've got Dale Inman, Hall of Famer. We'll be talking to him. We've got Chad Fincham on. We've got, we got special guests in hour 3. We've got the Moonshiners, Mark and Digger. Have you guys talked to them?
No, I don't think we have.
They sound awesome.
Yeah, from Discovery Channel. So I'd say they're going to bring some corn liquor. So hour 3 is going to get right.
All right, Jess. Yeah,
so, boogity, boogity, boogity.
Yeah, buckle up, I think, would be a good idea for the lead lap tomorrow. Is it year 23? Is that right, Ron?
Yeah, 23 years. Can you believe it?
You call it the fastest 2 hours in racing, or 3 hours for the Daytona 500. That's got to be the fastest 23 years in racing.
Yeah, it really has. I think I was telling somebody the other day, I said, you know, somebody about 4 o'clock started hollering, where are we going to dinner? When are we going? And I was like, well, it's just 4 o'clock. And they're like, well, we want to eat by 5. I'm like, well, that's when the old people eat. And they're like, well, we are the old people. So sure enough, we went to dinner at about 5 o'clock the other night, and we looked around, and we were a little younger than what was around us, but not much younger.
Young at heart, which is what matters this weekend at the Daytona 500. Don't miss the lead lap. Back for another fun year starting tomorrow at 10 a.m. Ron, thanks for joining us. Look forward to it, and should be a fun weekend of racing.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on, and we'll see everybody in the morning at 10. See you, Heather.
Hey, see you, Ronnie.
Good to have Ron Morton on with us on Sports 180. Love the lead lap.
I know. Every time we talk to Ron, whether I see him out and about or whatever, obviously makes me think of the late, great Bobby Denton. So I know Ronnie's got a nice cigar waiting to light up after the Daytona 500, and it's always exciting to talk to him. Good memories.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. We will come back for another half hour of Sports 180, get a little more Tennessee talk in. A question that I saw posed with the Man City punishment with an American sport. Is there some kind of connection there? We have that for you with you until 3 o'clock as Sports Talk will begin. Then Hershey setting us up here today in Maryville. We appreciate them making it happen for us to be at the Easy Stop. 2028 East Hunt Road is where you can find us. Get your candy ready for the weekend. You can get the standard Reese's candy bars. Buy one, get one right here. Hershey's Kisses, great idea for Valentine's Day as well. We'll come back here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180. Download the WNML app. You can listen on the go anytime. Big thanks to Hershey's for having us out again here today, Heather. It's been a fun time.
Yeah, super thanks to Hershey's. Remember, the Reese's standard candy bars are buy one, get one. And we appreciated seeing everybody that came out today and picked up one of the awesome 7-ounce solid milk chocolate Hershey Kisses that we were giving away. So it's been a great afternoon. And I know we did a couple of shout-outs earlier. We got to give a good shout-out to our TV partners, WVLT. Out of 94 stations that Gray Television, their corporate owners that own across the country, WVLT was rated the number one station. So that is awesome. And we have so many friends over there. I know you're really good friends with Brittany Tarwater and Davis, and they're just great people over there.
Yeah, they have a great team of great people. So yeah. Very cool for them. Not surprising to hear that because of how good they are.
Yeah, so congrats to them. And I meant to say that yesterday, and it just kind of slipped my mind. And then I saw Brittany, she had a nice tweet earlier, and that's just really cool because everybody spends a lot of time working, and you're away from your family, and you're just doing the best that you can. And to get recognition like that, I think it's just awesome.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We are with you until 3 o'clock when Sports Talk will take over. We'll hit the power poll in the final segment driven by Ted Russell Ford as we continue at the Easy Stop in Maryville today at 2028 East Hunt Road. I saw Mike McClure of Sportsline just suggest aloud, imagine if Major League Baseball took the approach that was taken with Man City today, with Man City being banned for 2 years from Champions League action. It's, of course, not going to happen. They haven't even punished any players with the Houston Astros. But what I'm also going to be curious to see is what kind of pushback is there around the league? And hearing Cody Bellinger talk the way that he did today is part of the reason I wonder that. We're talking about the reigning MVP of a team that has suffered losses at the hands of the Houston Astros and will be favorites, I guess, going into the National League this year. But here's a collection of some comments made by Cody Bellinger today talking to the media about the Houston Astros and their cheating scandal from 2017.
I thought the apologies were whatever. I thought Jim Crane's was weak. I thought Manfred's punishment was weak, giving him immunity. I mean, these guys were cheating for 3 years. You know, I think what people don't realize is Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us. I know personally I lost respect for those guys. I think I would say everyone in the show in the big leagues lost respect for those guys. I don't know what human hits a walk-off home run against Aroldis Chapman to send your team to the World Series. And one has the thought to say, don't rip my jersey off, but two, go in the tunnel, change your shirt, and then come out and do your interview. Like, that makes no sense to me. It makes zero sense to me, because I know me. Gary Sanchez said yesterday, you can rip my shirt off, my pants off. I sent my team the World Series off for Aroldis Chapman in the ninth inning at home. You can do, you know, I'm going crazy.
So that is Cody Bellinger with the Dodgers. That audio from Blake Harris, True Blue LA. And talking about the MVP, somebody's probably brought it up, but should Altuve's MVP stand? I know they're not going to take the World Series away. Should the MVP award stand?
Yes.
You think so?
I think everything stands at this point in time. One, because I don't think this is an isolated incident, and the reporting at TheAthletic.com has insinuated that and basically said that and John Wilkerson will beat this drum, and I love it, a true Boston fan throwing the Yankees under the bus, but the first team to allegedly misuse their replay room and replay technology to steal signs was the Yankees in 2015. So, one, I think this is sort of like the PED scandal. The further you dig down and the deeper you dig, the more you're going to find that you're probably not going to like if you're Major League Baseball. So I think everything just stands as is. Is it tarnished? Yeah, absolutely. People can think whatever they want to about Jose Altuve. If you think he had something, you know, on his breast that was buzzing him, telling him what pitch was going to come, then you can. And you can doubt the veracity of how good of a player he is. That's totally up to every individual to make their own determinations. But as far as Major League Baseball is concerned, everything stands at this point.
So have you changed your idea of whether players should be punished for this?
I thought they should have initially. I thought if you were playing and they had proof that you were using technology illegally, then yes, you should have you should have been punished. I thought you should have been named because, you know, shame is something that people have to wear. You know, if you break the rules, if you bend the rules, if you get out of line, that's going to follow you. And for Major League Baseball to not even name names on who they had basically investigated, I thought that was a misstep. Do you then retroactively go back and name names and say exactly what they do? I think Major League Baseball has made its bed, and that's the bed that they have to live in.
What about a revote? It'd be 3 years later, a revote for the MVP.
No. You're talking about fans or just everybody? All the people that vote?
The voters, yeah, for the MVP.
What's that going to do?
Well, it's probably going to end up in somebody else's hands, is my guess. I don't think we're going to have a Rookie of the Year vote for Brian Cushing back in his hands after a PED test. If they revoted, I don't think Altuve is winning.
Okay.
I'm not saying they should. I'm asking.
Yeah. If people that voted for the Heisman Trophy wanted to go back and, you know, since Reggie Bush had to vacate his Heisman Trophy, me as a college football viewer, he was still the best. And now I know the margin is closer between Judge and Altuve, but...
Yeah, I think that, but I think the Heisman being taken away is absurd.
Yeah, exactly, because he still won it. And I just feel like still...
The difference would be this is a cheating on the field. Right. I mean, the Reggie Bush, his family having a house doesn't have anything to do with him being the best player on the field.
Yeah, good point. I guess they could, but I think you've
softened since this first came out, I guess because the idea that there may have been more going on, but I would say to that, well, if you find out that they've done something, then punish them, not don't punish somebody else because somebody else might have cheated as well. Punish the cheaters, don't say, well, it's going on everywhere. And they're also not investigating the others like they have with the Astros, it appears.
Yeah, and I think that is also a misstep. Yeah, I think that is a misstep. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know what you do. If you've already said, I'm not going to punish you for this, and then you try to go back and punish them for that, what kind of message are you sending? Is that a good message or a bad message? I'm sort of on the fence there. But I was very critical of Major League Baseball for not, you know, coming out with punishments for the players. Mm-hmm. Because if they're cheating the game and it really is altering the outcome of decisions being made and games being won or lost, I think that's wrong.
Yeah, I'm not sure Major League Baseball has handled this very well.
Yeah.
Because Mike Fear's whistleblowing actually was not the first time Major League Baseball was alerted. The A's manager confirmed that the team itself filed a complaint.
Oh, wow.
So an official complaint from the team, and there was a reason for that. In college football, coaches know that other coaches are cheating. If you turn somebody in, you have to have really gone over some kind of bar that's, quote, accepted to get turned in.
Well, isn't that what, I mean, that basically is what got Bruce Pearl blackballed in the first place and why he was at Milwaukee, Wisconsin, correct? Because at the previous job, he was sort of a whistleblower to what was going on.
With the tape conversation.
Yeah. So And the caveat to that is, too, if you are going to be a whistleblower, you better have a squeaky clean house, and none of your guys better be doing anything outside of the permissible boundaries, because that could come back to haunt you as well.
Yeah, to me, the thing with Altuve and his MVP, I don't know if they should do anything on that or not. It's probably easier if we're 1 year removed as opposed to three to have that conversation. If we're having this conversation in 2018, if they've been caught right after, I would say it's a no-brainer. You take the MVP away.
Also, if people were being alerted, if Major League Baseball was being alerted to what was going on after year one and after the MVP, why did it take till just now?
Oh, I'm not sure on the exact timing.
Okay.
I would have to confirm that. I just know the A's did turn them
yes,
in.
Yeah.
We will come back for a final segment here of Sports 180, the Power Poll, driven by Ted Russell Ford. That's next. We'll get you ready for the weekend coming up, and then Sports Talk will take over at 3 o'clock as we wrap things up at the Easy Stop in Maryville. Here, thanks to Hershey's today on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back for the final segment of Sports 180. Hope everybody is ready for a big weekend coming up. Heather, been a lot of fun today.
It's been a lot of fun. I'm trying to, figure out what rom-com we're going to watch tonight.
Yeah, it's a tough call, no doubt, all the time. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody. We've enjoyed giving the opportunity for you to qualify in person with the Coors Light climb to the championship. How about over the phone lines? 656 wins is the phone number. 656-9467. Caller number 3, Joel Silverberg is standing by for you. Caller number 3 qualifies for a chance to win the Coors Light climb to the championship. 2 tickets to all the games for the men's basketball tournament in Nashville coming up in March, plus $500 spending cash. 656 wins. Joel Silverberg is standing by to give you a chance to win the Coors Light climb to the championship.
Yeah, we're just trying to hook everybody up. All the people that came by here at the Easy Stop on Hunt Road, we appreciate seeing everybody. We got a couple more minutes for you to come by and get registered for that said Coors Light climb to the championship. And then good luck to all the listeners out there that are vigorously and furiously dialing Joel Silverberg right now.
Yes, we'll have the Power Poll in a moment as well, what to watch this upcoming weekend. It is a weekend that will offer a ton of options with golf going on.
Yep.
Genesis. Tiger Woods had a good start, right?
Yeah, he had a good start, not doing so good today. He was playing 2 over just a few minutes ago.
Okay.
And then I'll say this. Moving day is usually relegated to Saturday, so I'm anxious to go home and start watching some of this tournament, because there's a couple of guys, including like J.B. Holmes and some others, that are 4 and 5 under today. So a lot of movement at the top of the leaderboard. You got Brooks Koepka that's going off here in about 5 minutes, so that's definitely exciting. He's at 2 under right now for the tournament. So a lot of big names, 9 out of the top 10 players in the world are in this tournament. This is one of the heaviest fields that you're going to see until the Masters rolls around in April. Invitation only by Tiger.
Yeah, it is a wild time where worlds are colliding. You have Tennessee baseball starting up tonight. Softball has been underway. Golf is going on, and big tournaments coming up. And then, of course, college basketball in full swing. All-Star weekend in the NBA. Hockey going on. What did I skip over? Daytona. So, yeah, all kinds of stuff that is happening. Plus, week 2 of the XFL.
And don't forget about this, and I might mention this in the Power Poll coming up. With Mel Tucker just getting hired at Michigan State, there could still be some college movement on the horizon, especially for SEC teams, maybe even teams in your own backyard. So that's definitely something to pay attention to as well.
Yeah, Colorado with the hire to make. And we'll see what they end up doing, but more dominoes could be falling. And here we are in mid-February.
Yeah, how many days after the late signing period now? So
yeah, week and a half almost.
Yeah, it's wild, and the fact that movement is just going to happen longer and there's going to be even more movement in the future, it just means that it's hard to rest easy until spring practice, I think, starts. And then after spring, then you got player movement that's going to happen.
That's right. We'll go through another transfer season.
So basically, I'm just a big ball of raw nerves right now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
John Wilkerson probably is as well, getting ready for a big weekend coming up. John, happy Valentine's Day. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Happy Valentine's Day to you as well as everyone.
Do you have a favorite rom-com, John?
A favorite rom-com? Yeah, I'd say it's probably when it's all said and done, You've Got Mail.
Me too. It's just the best. It's the best. And I forgot about some good ones. There are some. I think that's one, the easiest type of movie to turn. Like if you catch it on FX or USA, you're just watching But, yeah. like, something's got to give. And there's a couple As Good As It Gets with Jack Nicholson. I mean, those two, if they're ever on, I'm watching.
Oh, yeah, As Good As It Gets is fantastic. Music and lyrics is probably very underrated in regards to just how good and that is. Sleepless in Seattle is always a favorite. Could just go on and on.
John Wilkerson with us, getting ready for Sports Talk in just a few minutes. Before that, let's hit today's Power Poll.
Captain, we're losing power on the warp engine.
Nuclear power plant.
What's up? I'm Kenny Powers.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
I have the power!
With great power comes great responsibility.
Full power, Mr. Scott.
The Power Poll, driven by Ted Russell Ford. Two locations to serve you, Kingston Pike and Parkside Drive.
All righty, John, with the weekend upon us, we have five things to watch this upcoming weekend. Would you like to lead us off with your list?
Why, sure. And I'll start with a couple of honorable mentions. You got the Ice Bears in town tonight and tomorrow night. Big nights with video game night, Valentine's tonight, and then Star Wars night tomorrow night. Tennessee baseball. Connor Pavloni, already a home run, but they open the weekend as they play host to Western Illinois. And then as we get into the top five, going to throw in Baylor, West Virginia. It's the only matchup of ranked teams, so I'll put that number five. Tigers tournament, I'll put in number four. Number three, I'm going to split between the NBA All-Star Weekend and spring training because you never know what news could come out of either get-together. Number two, I'll go the Daytona 500. And number one, I can't help but think that the entire season hangs in the balance. Battle Hawks, Roughnecks. Two of the four undefeated square off in the XFL. I think the world will be watching.
I like where your head is, John Wilkerson. Heather Harrington, your top five things to watch this upcoming weekend.
Well, like John, I have an honorable mention, and this was actually in his top five. It would be in mine if I had Wi-Fi capability, and that's the only good basketball, or I said, well, I should say elite basketball matchup with two top 15 teams duking it out, West Virginia and Baylor. The reason why it's an honorable mention for me, Josh, because it's on ESPN+.
That's a tough draw for you, isn't it?
Brutal.
Oh, man, I'm going to enjoy some internet on that one.
All right, so number five is going to go. I'm going to go Maryland, Michigan State. Have y'all been watching this Maryland team? They're super exciting. And Michigan State with always upset potential looming. I want to see how that one shakes out. So number five is a bracket between those two and Auburn and Missouri. I think that's the most captivating SEC game of the weekend. Number four, and this is not to alert anybody in this area, but I started thinking about the different connections that Mel Tucker might have to Tennessee people on the staff. I just want to make sure that Tennessee football staff stays intact over the weekend, so I'm going to keep my eye right there. Number three, it's going to be a date night movie with the Hubs. Whatever he wants, I'll let him choose. It's his birthday and Valentine's all wrapped up into one weekend. Number two is going to be the Genesis Open for me. And number one, because I want to see how my picks do for the three-point and the dunk contest, it's going to be all the NBA All-Star festivities.
Yeah, who'd you go with, Pat?
I went with Heald and Mr. Whiteman Can Jump,
okay.
Pat.
There you go. All right, honorable mention, trying to get the word out. I was reminded earlier by, was it Will Shelton who mentioned About Time first?
Yes.
Yeah, About Time. Add that to your list if you're looking for a new rom-com that you might not be as familiar with. It's been out in the last 5 years or so. Number five, Genesis, a little golf action. Number four, Racing at Daytona with the 500 as well as Chad Fincham, local guy. You can see him in the Xfinity Series race. So look forward to that. Good luck to him. I have West Virginia Baylor, number three. Might move it up. Just, you know, enjoy some good old-fashioned streaming. I have... All-Star Weekend, number two, the skills competition. I'll sell you some tickets to come watch our streaming. Got that. You got Dame Dollar, maybe not playing, but rapping tomorrow night in the show as well. So that should be fun. Plus Kobe tribute on Sunday. And then, John, I didn't want to come across as biased, so I didn't go with the Battle Hawks Roughnecks, even though that's Heather versus Josh. I have Guardians Defenders, 2 o'clock ABC tomorrow. Another couple of undefeated teams with the Guardians and the Defenders, but... it's going to be a tough XFL power poll after the weekend between the two winners of those two games.
That's true, but see, I failed to acknowledge or recognize the Defenders since they handed Seattle their first loss. So down with DC, had it with the Defenders, just enough.
Yeah, add John Wilkerson to the list. That's the power poll. It is driven by Ted Russell Ford, Kingston Pike, Parkside Drive. They have a huge selection of pre-owned inventory with big-time savings. They are locally owned and operated. They have the lifetime warranty available. Find them online, tedrussellford.net. John, what's coming up next on Sports Talk?
We'll be at Oak Ridge Nissan right here where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. Folks will have their chance to register for the Coors Light Climb to a Championship. We've got so much going on. Jesse Smithy of 5starpreps.com at 3:35. We'll have comments from Tony Vitello as he previews this weekend series, even though this first game now underway. Comments from Tennessee coach Rick Barnes. We'll also have Al Brown join us in hour number three of the program to talk Vols, Lady Vols, NCAA hoops. We'll check in with Ron Morton from Daytona. We'll have post-game comments from Kelly Harper of the Lady Vols. Lost last night to LSU. Got to get ready for Texas A&M. We have all that and more. And I do wonder, if Glenn gets to pick the movie, does that mean you will be not looking at spoilers before the end of it?
I'm free to use my phone during a movie. Yeah.
Spoil away, says Heather Harrington.
This is how bad it is. I listened to three podcasts about breaking down Once Upon a Time in Hollywood before I ever watched it for the first time.
Oh, that's disgusting.
That's fantastic.
I'm going to give it a big thumbs down as well.
Yeah. Oh, come on, guys.
Yeah, yeah, big time disappointment.
Free to be me.
John, I do have to ask before we go.
I'm wrapping a birthday or Christmas present for Heather, right? she just wants to see it.
Just lay it on out there. In fact, have her walk through the ordering process ahead of time.
Stuff in my Amazon cart. Yeah, yeah, you can pay for it.
That's right. Here's $91.
Cash. Cash. Hey, John, on Valentine's Day, a quick question. Do you know what the paperclip said to the magnet?
No, Josh, I do not know. What did the paperclip say to the magnet?
I find you very attractive. Big thanks to Hershey's for having us out here today. Fun time in Maryville. Apologies as well. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Sports Talk is coming up next on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.